Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point in the Vagina Monologues. Playwright and performer Eve Ensler spoke the once unspeakable from anatomy to the intimate lives of women. Now she's exploring the lives and inner lives of teenage girls from American suburbia to Cairo to the Congo. Girl power, she says, can change the world. We'll ask her how, given the many torments she describes in her latest book of monologues. This hour on Point, Eve Ensler on girls worldwide. You can join the conversation. What does Eve Ensler stand for to you? What does her work mean to you? You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from New York is Eve Ensler. She's a performer, activist, and Obie Award-winning playwright, best known for her groundbreaking work, The Vagina Monologues. In the wake of that play's success, she founded V-Day, a movement that looks to end violence against women and girls. Her new book of monologues is I Am an Emotional Creature, The Secret Life of Girls Around the World. You can read an excerpt at our website, onpointradio.org. Eve Ensler, welcome to On Point.
Hi, I'm very happy to be here today.
It's great to have you. You're very, you say right up front that these monologues are not interviews, but they're very intimate and they're from all over the world. What's your source material, Eve, for putting these together? You take us, by your lights anyway, deep into the minds of a lot of very young women, girls.
Well, I've had the great fortune over the last 11 years with V-Day and the Vagina Monologues to travel the world. I've probably been in about 60 countries, and I think in that time I've witnessed amazing things, I've heard amazing things, I've read stories, I've had my own fantasies about how I wish the way things were. I think it's a combination of things that has kind of given source to this book.
What's V-Day?
V-Day is a global movement that began in 1998 to end violence against women and girls. After I had been performing the Vagina Monologues for a little while, everywhere I went, when I was performing it, women would line up after the show to tell me their stories. And at first I thought, okay, this is good. I'll be hearing wonderful tales of pleasure and great sex lives. And in fact, 95% of the women who were lining up to talk to me were there to tell me really pretty horrible stories about how they've been raped or beaten or incest or mutilated. And it became overwhelming. And I felt the way a war photographers feel when they witness horrible events and they don't intervene on people's behalves. So in 98, we got a group of friends together, activists in New York, and I said, look, I have this play. How could we use it to end violence against women and girls, to end it? And we came up with this idea of V-Day, which is a day, Valentine's Day, and it stands for a vagina, obviously, and victory over violence and Valentine's. And we launched one event in New York City, and that event really propelled this movement, which has now spread to 130 countries. This year, I think there'll be 1,500 places doing about 5,000 events, and we've been able to raise about $70 million over the last 12 years, all of which goes to local groups to stop violence against women and girls.
Why do you think your performances in the Vagina Monologues brought out so many painful stories? Is it that somehow this material elicited those stories, or is that really just the reality of women globally? Is it that bad?
Well, I want to also say that it brought out a lot of pleasure too later on. So I want to keep linking the two, because I don't think women are just in pain. Mm. I think there's incredible beauty and joy and in sexuality. But I will say, yes, it is that bad. In fact, the UN statistics are that one out of every three women in the world will be beaten and raped in her lifetime. And I have to say, traveling the world, those statistics, I've certainly seen them manifest. So I think the thing that Carl Jung once said, that to survive this century, we have to live with two existing opposite thoughts at the same time. I think there's a way in which women are coming into their power, into their sexuality, into their pleasure at the same time as this horrible current of violence is still running rampant. And I think both things are true.
We often have our guests, artists, do readings, not normally as long as what we're about to do here. But if you were a singer, we'd let you sing for 4 minutes. You're a monologuist, so we're going to let you monologue for just about that long. This is the very first entry in the book, I Am an Emotional Creature. It's titled, You Tell Me How to Be a Girl in 2010. Will you read for us?
Thank you, I will. You tell me how to be a girl in 2010. Questions, doubt, ambiguity, and dissent have somehow become very unmasculine. Authoritarian maniacs are premier czars and presidents. Each one is more righteous than the next. Each town they bomb, each human they kill, is done for humanitarian purposes. People don't own the water in their own village, and they certainly don't own the diamonds and gold. Millions are forced to make dinner out of garbage and dust, while Russian businessmen and movie stars are buying 500 million euro villas on Côte d'Azur. Bees have stopped making honey. People are drilling in all the wrong places. The U.S., Russia, Canada, Denmark, and Norway all claim the Arctic, but none of them seem to care that the polar bears are drowning. They are fingerprinting, photographing our licenses and teeth. Big Brother is now on our phones, our pods, our PCs, but none of us feels even a little safer. New age mental health providers turn out to be former war torturers with beards, and the Pope, in a dress showing off his ermine trim and cuffs, is telling everyone that people kissing people they love is the greatest evil. A woman who tries to be the U.S. vice president believes in creationism, but not global warming. Why is everyone so much more afraid of sex than Scud missiles, and who decide God wasn't into pleasure? And if the hetero nuclear family is so great, how come everyone's fleeing it or paying their life savings just to sit in a room with a stranger and cry about it? The Iraq war cost nearly $3 trillion. I can't even count that high, but I know that money could have, would have, ended poverty in general, which could have canceled terrorism. How come we have money to kill but no money to feed or heal? How come we have money to destroy but no money for art and schools? The fundamentalists now have billion-dollar private armies. The Taliban is back but never went away. Women are burned, raped, bludgeoned, sold, starved, and buried alive, and still don't know they are the majority. Water is clearly nearly running out, but even in the desert where there's serious drought, the golf courses are green and lush, and the swimming pools are full of water for the 12 rich people who might decide to come. Special people adopt hand-picked babies in faraway lands. Their flight there costs more than the baby's parents made this year. Why don't they just give it to them? Slavery is back, but never went away. Just ask anyone who's been whipped how deep the legacy. 6 million dead in the Congo, and they never made the news, and don't tell me it doesn't have to do with color and minerals. Poor folks are dying first from hurricanes, earthquakes, shame, tsunamis, radiation, pollution, floods, and neglect. Rich folks just put up fancier super-electrified gates on their private perfect cities. Everyone's having benefits and throwing fancy parties with lots of swag so the rich people feel good about giving away the tiny little bit of the whole lot they have. But no one really wants to change anything. If you really want it, you have to give something up, like everything. And then those that have wouldn't, and then who would they be? And that's too complicated. So they write checks and keep doing the same old things, selling change, making revolution profitable. Corporations own everything anyway, even our hippie genes, memory cells, and rain. Why do so many women leaders look like Margaret Thatcher and act even meaner? Why doesn't anyone remember anything? And how come rich bad people get paid lots of money to give speeches and poor bad people are tortured and in prisons? Is there anyone in charge? Or is this whole thing spinning out until it explodes or dissolves? And if there's something we can do, why aren't we doing it? What happened to fury? What happened to accuracy or accountability? What happened to not showing off your wealth? What happened to kindness? What happened to teenagers rebelling instead of buying and selling? What happened to teenagers kissing instead of blocking and dissing? What happened to teenagers marching and refusing instead of exploiting and using? I want to touch you in real time, not find you on YouTube. I want to walk next to you in the mountains, not friend you on Facebook. Give me one thing I can believe in that isn't a brand name. I'm lonely. I'm scared. Girls younger than me are giving blow in homeroom and they don't even know it's sex. They just want to be popular and get some respect. Most girls my age are taking pills or not getting out of bed or eating or starving or getting nose jobs or implants or getting cut or twittering away or covering themselves or desperate for a way to be awake without faking, to be alive without freaking, to be serious, to be true, to even think of loving someone when we're already doomed. You tell me, how to be a girl in 2010? I say let's go for it if it's all coming down. I say let's speak it, let's fight it, let's write it. There's nothing to hold on to if it's already gone. They left it to us. It sucks, but it's true. It's you and me, baby.
Eve Ensler reading from the very first monologue of her new book, I Am an Emotional Creature, The Secret Life of Girls Across the World. Eve Ensler, author of The Vagina Monologues. Who are you channeling there, Eve?
I feel like I'm just the world of girls. You know, I travel around this planet and I see, one, the what we left, girls, what, you know, what human beings have left this next generation. And it's hard. It's hard to think of how you grow up right now with an earth that's in such trouble, with wars, with the kind of exploitation and the rise and the commodification of girls and just the commodification of human beings. I mean, there are so many things that this generation of girls is inheriting. And there are so many ways we're treating girls across the planet, whether it's the insane poverty that girls are facing or the lack of education or the number of girls being sex trafficked. Or in the West, this kind of ideology, this aesthetic that girls have to force themselves to surrender to. And I think, I guess there's a lot of rage. And when I've been rehearsing the last week with girls in New York, I see the rage, you know?
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with the Vagina Monologues creator, Eve Ensler, about her new work on teenage girls around the world. It is called I Am an Emotional Creature, The Secret Life of Girls Across the World. She joins us today from New York. Eve, there's a lot of people who want to talk with you. Sherilyn in Nashville, Tennessee. You're on the air with Eve Ensler.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hi, I just wanted to comment. You know, a couple of years ago, my daughter was acting in the Vagina Monologues. And I read, she was in college, and I read some of the monologue. I'm like, Jennifer, you cannot do this, you know. And then she's like, Mom, but I so much believe in this cause. And I didn't even know what it was about. And we went to the performance, and it was amazing. Like, it made everybody there really see things. Because if you're a female and you've never been through what these women have been through, you don't think about it, you know. So then she was in it again last year, and I just want to thank you so much for writing such an awesome monologue to bring it to light to women and to everyone, you know?
Thank you so much.
Sherilyn, that's great. We'll take it right there. Thank you very much for that. Kate in Providence, Rhode Island. Kate, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. I just had an idea that I've had for years, and I thought if anybody could carry it off, it'd be Eve Ensler. But, and it's based on what I hope is a fact that I heard, that the most cases of domestic violence are reported on Super Bowl Sunday, and I don't think that's true. But even if it's not true, I always had this fantasy that, you know, we'd take, not preempt the Super Bowl, which would be kind of fabulous, and replace it with something else, but at least take a nice chunk of time, you know, 5 minutes or even 2 minutes or something, and do it, use that time and that audience to get the message across about domestic violence.
There's a thought, a little vagina monologue moment on Super Bowl Sunday. There's going to be an anti-abortion ad on Sunday.
Yeah.
Eve, maybe
well,
you should have an anti-domestic violence ad.
They're trying to get that ad off, and I hope they do. But actually, I just want to point out that actually 1 year, either we tried to do it on Super Bowl Sunday or it was actually done on Super Bowl Sunday, but it's a really excellent idea. I'm not sure it is the most – I think that's – it may be a myth that the most brutality occurs on that, because I think men are actually occupied
busy
with the game.
I don't know.
It's probably the next day after their team loses.
Maybe. Yeah. Kate, thanks for your call. Ned in Charlottesville, Virginia. You're on the air with Eve Ensler.
Tom, thank you. The monologue stops me cold in the middle of a workout. I have not stopped in the middle of a workout for 20 years. Thank you so much.
Why?
I'm sitting here pouring in sweat. My glasses are fogged up. And I just want to say thank you. I have two daughters. And I want you to contact William McDonough at the University of Virginia. He's one of the country's leading environmental advocates and scientists. He has a lecture he gives that sustainability is a function of the accord given women in any society. He said that when women are protected and given their due in running things, that the environmental problem will solve itself. It's a tremendous lecture, and you can reach him there. I think he has a chair at the Mountain School.
Get women out front for sustainability. Thank you very much, Ned. Let me get one more, if I may, Eve. Oscar in Sandown, New Hampshire. Oscar, you're on the air.
Good day. I just wanted to make a little comment on your promo. You stated that she believes if women ruled the world, that everything would be fine. My only problem with that is that that's the exact problem that we have. Not that they're ruling the world, but they themselves as a single entity can do it instead of talking with man and woman.
Can I speak to that?
Yes, Eve, please elaborate. I mean, you've got...
I've never said anything about ruling. I don't think there's any language...
Save the world, I think, is the headline CNN put on you anyway.
Exactly. I don't believe anybody... I think we need to get out of the idea of ruling as an idea. And I think sometimes when people hear the idea of girls coming into their power, they see that as domination or ruling. That's so not what I'm talking about, okay?
But you see, the future is girl, and it needs to be and should be. Vulnerability and compassion and emotion bring it, and it's the way to save the world. What does that mean?
Well, I don't necessarily think that girl is just in women. I think we all have a girl cell. And I think this girl cell is all about compassion, vulnerability, connection, not being disassociated from your feelings. I think many boys in this world are brought up to disassociate from their hearts, excuse me, to disconnect from their feelings. They're not allowed to be afraid. They're not allowed to cry. They're not allowed to know. And I think that disconnection has brought us to a place where often men are then forced into roles and where the tyranny of masculinity really cuts men off from their hearts and allows them to do things they might not want to be doing. So I think this opening of the girl isn't just in girls. It's in all of us. I think men have a girl. I think we all have a girl. And I think the girl cell, once it's tapped into, will allow all of us to be free, not for either one of us to dominate, but for us to work together.
Try and make that a little more real still. The state of girl, the condition of girl will determine if the species survives, you say. What about it and how would that manifest itself? And
I'll give you an example of how it would manifest itself. You know, when I was in India and I gave that talk, afterwards a lot of men came up to me and they were talking to me about how much in their lives they had never been allowed to not know things, for example, to ask questions, how they hadn't been allowed to, when they had a bad feeling or something really disturbed them or they felt grief, they weren't allowed to cry, how that had changed them, how that had literally left a legacy in them where they grew up cut off and shut down and deadened to the world. And I think if the girl cell were alive in all of us, girls would, and boys would be naturally awake to their intuition, to their emotions, to their hearts, and that would inform the world in a completely different way. Another father told me in India that his whole life he was taught to believe he should only have boys and that girl children were less than and were insignificant. And after he heard the talk, he was going to go home and he was going to tell his wife that they had to make three girls. I think the diminishing of girls and the seeing of girls as less than has created this inequality and this distortion in the planet, which has allowed us to destroy the earth, which has allowed us to hurt each other, which has allowed us to create this incredible imbalance. And, you know, I think I say in that talk in TED that we are all brought up not to be girls. Men are taught that the worst thing they can be is a girl. Boys are taught that the worst thing. Girls are taught that the worst thing they can be is a girl. Why? What does it mean to be a girl, and why is that so terrifying?
But is that still so true? I mean, maybe it's happening. Maybe girl power is in gear. We read that in the United States anyway, girls are matriculating at university in a greater portion than young men now. We see more women going into law school and med school and you know, husbands whose wives bring home the big paycheck and all the rest. Maybe we're there, or at least a big toehold or more.
As I said earlier, I think it's two things. I think, yes, that's true. And at the same time, we're seeing more eating disorders. We're seeing more girls hating their bodies in this country. We're seeing enormous amount of incest and rape. We're seeing so many girls who are in violent relationships with their boyfriends. We're seeing teenage pregnancy where girls don't know that they have rights and agency over their own bodies. So I think both things, again, are true.
Eve Ensler is with us, author of The Vagina Monologues, and Now I Am an Emotional Creature, Burke in Beaufort, South Carolina. Burke, you're on the air with Eve.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Yes, I thought your reading was excellent, but I must say I differ with the author in that I feel that you're taking a glass-half-empty perspective, and when one does that, you become something of a self-fulfilling prophecy. I'm 53. I served for 25 years in the military. I'm traveled quite a bit in the world and have had not what you would consider the normal lifestyle for a woman.
Yeah.
I do not disagree that things that the author is bringing out exist and everything else, but the approach to correcting that is more of the pebble in the pond where you can affect the world around you. You cannot, yes, everything, the horrible things in the world, they're there, but you cannot make everything better. You've got to make the immediate world better. And I have a daughter who's 10 going on 40. And it's, you know, I try to show her, yes, there's evil in the world, but here's the good, and here's how you can make it better. And I think that needs to come across. I also recognize that each of us comes from our own perspective, and, you know, my cultural experiences have not been that of other women. I recognize there's bad in the world, but you've got to look for the good.
Burke, I'm glad you raised the issue in that way. And Eve Ensler, how about it? You know, Burke says, okay, I've been out there, and you, madam, have a glass-half-empty perspective here.
Well, first of all, I think the book is a call to girls to rise to their power, into their pleasure, into their voices, into all of that. It's not a glass half empty. I think to say that we can examine what's really going on in the world, I think we have to look at reality. I have been in a lot of countries and I've been in a lot of places and I've seen a lot of things and it's real. The book is not a negative book. I think it's a call to girls to rise up and to own their destinies.
Trafficking and violence and mutilation. I mean, it's got
a
lot.
And there's also girls talking about being emotional creatures and wanting to wear short skirts and loving sex and having pleasure. And it's what you're focusing on today. You've chosen those pieces in the book that are negative. But there's also a lot of positive pieces in the book.
And I take the point that there's a reality out there. I guess Burke does as well. But what about – I guess what interests me is the idea of glass half empty. I mean, how do you feel – you did the Vagina Monologues. You've been out there a lot now for more than a decade on this front. And you know, do you ask yourself about where your center of gravity is in your assessment of what's going on? Are you, you know, do you have to work to be rosier or do you have to work not to be too negative? Did the reality you see in the world make you want to be even more, alarmed perhaps?
Well, I think I want to go back to this notion of the glass half empty. I think there are a lot of things we don't want to talk about and look at in the world because they're scary. Mm. And I think sometimes my role is to open up doors to things, whether it's vaginas or whether it's sexual abuse or whatever it is that people don't. I spent a lot of time, for example, in the Congo, okay?
Mm-hmm.
6 million people have died in the Congo in 12 years. Probably close to 400,000-500,000 women and girls have been raped and tortured. Mm. Most people don't even know that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I've sat with girls who are 8 years old who have had their insides eviscerated from being raped and gang raped by soldiers. So I've seen a lot of things in the world that a lot of people don't see and frankly don't want to see. And if my role is the harbinger of bad news, I'm sorry. But in fact, this is the world we're living in. And very often the West is responsible for a lot of things that are going on. For example, in the Congo, the war is an economic war that is being fought over minerals. Minerals like coltan and tin and copper that get exported to the West. And coltan goes into our cell phones and our iPods and our PlayStations and our PCs. Now, we benefit from those minerals. The militias go into villages. They rape the women. The communities are destroyed. Everyone flees. The militias take over the mines. Those mines export minerals that then go into our luxury items. Mm. So I am here to say, yes, across the planet, we are seeing a rise as people become poorer and poorer in the exportation of girls, in the commodification of girls, in the raping. This is true. This isn't, I'm not making this up. And if that's difficult information to process, yes, true. But we all need to awaken to the reality of what's happening to people in the world as a consequence of our actions and also just being here as human beings.
Let's go to Ella in Charlotte, North Carolina. Ella, you're on the air with Eve Ensler.
Hello. I wanted to make a comment about one of the listeners who said that the author is looking at the glass half empty. And I wanted to say that what she has done with Vagina Monologues and her new book is actually doing the very opposite, is bringing light into the lives of girls and women all around the world to show that they deserve better, and that they are not alone. So that way, there's always room for growth. And as a Turkish girl who's been living in the States for 10 years, I can say from my own experiences that most girls are uninformed, and they are reluctant to speak about the violence that they experience or the inequality they face in their everyday lives. And that, yes, we do need individuals like you to speak up for them, for these females, to show them that it is not okay to have such inequality in 2010 that is not vanishing away.
Mm. Ella, you're great. Thank you very much. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Let's get one more. Okay. Eve? Yeah, please.
Well, I just wanted to respond to that and thank her. You know, in this group we have rehearsing right now in New York, there's about 25 girls. And in the last week, just privately, I think 3 or 4 girls have taken me aside either to tell me they were raped when they were children, or they're cutting themselves, or they have an eating disorder. And that's just the 4 of them who have been able to get my attention. So I really appreciate what she said. I mean, I think when we tell the truth, that's where liberation comes from.
Ella, thank you. Lisa in Jamaica Plain, Massachusetts. Lisa, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks, Tom, for taking my call. I wanted to say, first of all, that Eve, I'm very grateful for your voice and that you use your voice. I feel similar to the last caller in that in order for there to be progress, there needs to be light shined into the darkness. And I appreciate that a great deal, both as a woman and as the mother of a girl now in college. One thing, though, that I wanted to ask you is that in my own experiences, while struggling, yes, with my emotional being and the reality of what it means to be a woman, human on the planet, one of the things that I've often found difficult and have struggled with is that I'm not only an emotional being, I'm also quite an intelligent being. And I'm wondering why that word was not put in your title.
I am an intelligent creature.
And how that's addressed, yeah.
Lisa, our time is short before the break. Eve, what do you say?
It may require more than a short response, but I think the separation of emotion and intellect and the kind of head-heart separation is kind of what's brought us all to this really difficult place we are in human existence. And for me, I think all my life I've been told that I'm too emotional, I'm too intense, I'm too this. And I just started to think how many girls have been told that. And that what we do is we then put down emotion. We start to say that it's less than our intellect, and it's less than, as opposed to seeing it as a way through. And so this book is championing emotion. I'm saying I am an emotional creature, and I'm proud to be an emotional creature. And I'm tired of the bad rap on emotions.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with the Vagina Monologues creators, Eve Ensler, about her new work on teenage girls around the world. It's titled I Am an Emotional Creature. She joins us today from New York City. Eve, you raise this issue of the role of emotion, and you're not willing to put it in a backseat to intellect, maybe, or anything else. And I'd like to talk more about that, but
one of your very last, we heard the first monologue in this collection, one of the nearly last ones is this sort of title monologue. It is, I am an emotional creature. And maybe if you'd read that for us, we'd get a deeper sense right there of what you're suggesting.
Okay. I love being a girl. I can feel what you're feeling as you're feeling it inside the feeling before. I am an emotional creature. Things do not come to me as intellectual theories or hard-shaped ideas. They pulse through my organs and legs and burn up my ears. I know when your girlfriend's really pissed off, even though she appears to give you what you want. I know when a storm is coming. I can feel the invisible stirrings in the air. I can tell you he won't call back. It's a vibe I share. I am an emotional creature. I love that I do not take things lightly. Everything is intense to me. The way I walk in the street, the way my mama wakes me up, the way I hear bad news, the way it's unbearable when I lose. I am an emotional creature. I am connected to everything and everyone. I was born like that. Don't you say all negative that it's a teenage thing or it's only because I'm a girl. These feelings make me better. They make me ready. They make me present. They make me strong. I am an emotional creature. There is a particular way of knowing. It's like the older women somehow forgot. I rejoice that it's still in my body. I know when the coconut's about to fall. I know we have pushed the earth too far. I know my father isn't coming back and that no one's prepared for the fire. I know that lipstick means more than show and boys feel super insecure and so-called terrorists are made, not born. I know that one kiss can take away all my decision-making ability. And you know what? Sometimes it should. This is not extreme. It's a girl thing, what we would all be if the big door inside us flew open. Don't tell me not to cry, to calm it down, not to be so extreme, to be reasonable. I am an emotional creature. It's how the earth got made, how the wind continues to pollinate. You don't tell the Atlantic Ocean to behave. I am an emotional creature. Why would you want to shut me down or turn me off? I am your remaining memory. I am connecting you to your source. Nothing's been diluted. Nothing's leaked out. I can take you back. I love that I can feel the inside of the feelings in you, even if it stops my life, even if it hurts too much or takes me off track, even if it breaks my heart, it makes me responsible. I am an emotional, oceanal, erosional, roller coasteral, sensational creature, and I love, hear me, I love, love, love being a girl.
Mm. Eve Ensler, I am an emotional creature. Let's take a call while that sinks in. Kepi in Boston, you're on the air with Eve Ensler.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Eve. I just wanted to let you know I'm involved in producing the Vagina Monologues at the Berklee College of Music this February the 14th, and it's a college with a surprisingly small percentage of females. It's about 30% female population, and within the first 24 hours of putting up an audition announcement, 60 women had contacted us to audition.
Wow, so fantastic.
It's just, you know, I saw the play when I was about 20 at McGill University, and it changed the way that I view my body and my sexuality, so it's an honour to put on the production, and I think that the response we've gotten from women at the college demonstrates how much it means to them and how timely
it is. Oh, well, thank you.
That's
thank
really
you
great.
For being so brave and doing it there. That's fantastic.
Kevin, may I ask you as a kind of first listener, I think while you were waiting to come on, you probably heard Eve just reading, I am an emotional creature. May we get your response to that?
I heard little bits of it. You know, I just think it's beautiful, and I think that the Vagina Monologues are so much about sexuality and womanhood and the female body, and I just I'm so grateful that you're now writing about that aspect. And I particularly, you know, I think what you were saying previously about men really reclaiming their feminine side and their feminine energy and being proud of that and connecting to that energy is so important. And you know, it's a part of male humanity that they need to reclaim as much as females need to reclaim that part of themselves. So thank you.
Kepi, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck with your performance there at Berklee.
Happy V-Day.
Eve, you gave us the poetic version there in the monologue. unpack it a little bit for us, if you'd be willing. I mean, the point you're making is, what, we've had an emotion deficit in this world? We need more emotion?
I think we've had the undermining of the value of emotions. I think when somebody says to you, you're so emotional, it's a criticism. You know, you're being too intense. You're so emotional. Why isn't that a good thing? Why aren't we happy when we're crying? Why aren't we happy when we're feeling compassion? Why aren't all of us striving to be more connected and to live more deeply in our hearts? You know, one of the things I've really noticed in myself over the last 12 years is that the more able I am to kind of unveil and unarmor myself and be open to the world, the more energy I have and the more responsive and the more able I am to fight on behalf of people who need support. And I think often we have this illusion that if we guard ourselves and we shut ourselves down and we keep ourselves, in the box, that somehow will give us energy and will allow us to keep going, when in fact, the opposite is true. My experience has been that the more vulnerable I become and the more able I am to feel other people's pain and to be with other people in their struggles, the more energy I have to keep going. And also the more creative I become and the more determined I become and the more passionate I become in fighting on behalf of the things that need to be fought on.
And so are women as a gender, are they the keepers of the emotion flame? It can sound like an old idea.
I don't think so. I think there are some men who are more emotional. There's some women. Mm-hmm. I think all of us have the potential to open our hearts equally. And I think, you know, what patriarchy has done is convince men and convince women to some degree that we should distrust and discount our feelings as opposed to connecting with them. And I'm not saying only, obviously, we have to keep our intellect intact.
Sure.
But I think if more men were supported in being open to their hearts and open to their feelings and open to their intuition, and open to that other, the world, and women as well, we would have a lot more passion to fuel our activism and to fuel ourselves in fighting for change, which is desperate right now.
Let's get a call from Dave. Dave in Newton, Massachusetts. Dave, you're on the air.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I just want to ask the author, is there a way that you can kind of temper your enthusiasm for emotion? Because I've been in two relationships. I've been married twice. My first relationship, which didn't work out that well, my former wife used emotion as a trump card to, play and to say that emotion was more important than what actually occurred. And then my second relationship is altogether different. My second wife is much more, she's emotional, but I think her logic is much more than my first wife. And so I think, both genders, we can both strive to be better. If women say emotion is our trump card and it's just built into us, well, men could say, well, we're hardwired for, things that aren't altogether productive either.
Eve, what do you say to Dave in his experience?
I'm not sure I get it fully, but...
Well, he's had some difficult relationships. He sees, his partners as maybe having used emotion or in a way that he had trouble following. It didn't work out for him.
The thing about using emotion, not getting that completely, it's a hard one to answer because I wasn't there, I don't get it. I don't think I can respond, frankly.
Mm.
I didn't understand what he was saying.
I thought you'd be more empathetic than that, Eve.
No, I just didn't understand it. It's not like I'm not empathetic. I'm not getting it. I mean, is he saying that his first wife was alive and full of feelings? I wasn't understanding. Sorry.
Oh, I thought you had a lot of capacity on that score. Let's get another David.
I just didn't get what the problem was.
Okay. Cookville, Tennessee. David, you're on the air. Thanks for calling, Dave. David, you're on.
Thank you. And I wanted to first thank Eve for her great work. And I also wanted to encourage all men who are listening to go see the Vagina Monologues. I've seen it. I've seen seven different productions of it. And you will go in one person, and you will come out a better human being. It's one of the most transformative pieces of theater I've ever seen, and I've seen hundreds of different theatrical productions. And for the woman who called earlier and said that it was that there's some negativity or that there is a half glass full, First, I would say, let's look at what's in the glass. Sometimes it's a pretty murky concoction, and maybe it's better half empty. Tom, you need to go see Vagina Monologues. You'll be a better man. The guy who just called, he'll have much better success with the women in his life if he goes and sees them. She portrays people through characters. It's not Eve talking always. Mm-hmm. She lets people tell their truths, and really that's the beauty of it. She's not preaching. She's not trying to tell people how to be or how to be better in their relationship. She's just saying, here, this is how it is, and you just need to see it. And not just men, but everybody will be a better person if they go see it afterwards.
David, we hear it, and got to be better men, absolutely. And appreciate your call. David?
David, thank you. Because going back to the man before, I think that was the trouble I was having. I don't want to get into advising people in their relationships, because who am I? I have my own issues with relationships. But I think you know, what I just want to be clear about is I'm not saying we need to be wildly, insanely out of control emotionally. That's not what I'm saying. I obviously believe that there needs to be balance. I'm just saying that the kind of undermining and the devaluing of emotion is something we need to look at, because I think often in given situations, if, for example, I've really seen this in being an activist, like you can have great ideas for change, but there's a certain kind of level of emotional drive and intensity that you need to actually bring about change. And it has to do with determination, and it has to do with passion, and it has to do with devotion, and it has to do with dedication. And that's what I'm talking about, the combination of ideas and feelings.
And we hear it loud and clear. Let's go to Marcia in Moose Up, Connecticut. Marcia, you're on the air with Eve Ensler.
I thought that the show was absolutely great. Everything that she said and Eve said in the opening monologue was right on point to the problems of the entire world, certainly not just women or girls. And the thing I see as a problem, once I listen to this and once everybody agrees, okay, these are the problems. What exactly are some specific approaches to solutions? What are not, you've talked about activism and political movements, but nothing about exactly, specifically, what can we do if these chemicals and minerals in Africa used in cell phones are destroying Africa, then should we not use cell phones? I mean, can you give me some two or three very specific things that we can do as human beings to help save this universe? Thank you.
Thank you, Marcia. Eve?
Well, it's a great question, Marcia. And I think, first let me talk about girls. I think part of the beginning of the story is to talk about what's really going on. Then I think one of the great things that's come out of this whole emotional creature movement is we're starting this movement in V-Day called V-Girls, which will launch in a couple of days. And it will be a curriculum that goes with the book so girls can study up on each of the monologues to learn how they can be activists and involve themselves in the world in a way of change. But in terms of you know, what you can do with the Congo, I would suggest you go to vday.org, because there's a whole Congo campaign and there's a mineral campaign where we are beginning to look at mineral companies that have investments and are working in the Congo to fight to keep transparent and to create clean mineral bills that we're working with in Congress. And if you go to vday.org, you can look on how to support that. But we also have a huge campaign right now, a worldwide campaign called Stop Raping Our Greatest Resources, Power to the Women and Girls of the DRC. And you can get active in that campaign. We're opening an extraordinary place called the City of Joy in May, which will be an incredible pastoral city in Bukavu, DRC, for women who are survivors of gender violence. And it will be a place that will literally support them in healing, in education, in coming in to know their rights, in economic empowerment. There's an amazing field where they'll be planting crops. There'll be a radio station. There'll be advocacy and learning about their judicial rights. And what that whole center will be for is to help turn pain to power, to support women who have gone through the worst to become the next leaders of the DRC. And 100 women will come for 6 months, and then the next 6 months there'll be another 100, and you can absolutely support that. But what I would really suggest is that whatever people feel passionate about and where you feel connected, whether it's to the earth or stopping or protecting women's reproductive rights or whatever it is, that you find the way to go and work with your heart and with your time and with your energy for whatever that is.
Marcia, thank you very much for your call. Eve Ensler, we've just got you for another minute here. You travel a lot around the world. The new book, I Am an Emotional Creature, is a very kind of global report in a way. And you've been at this for a while now. Where do you find the deepest, best, richest response to your message? Is it in the United States? Is it elsewhere? Where?
You know, I'm really blessed to say that it's kind of everywhere I've been. I mean, we premiered this book in Mumbai, and they did the first performance of it, and 1,000 people came, and the reaction was amazing. And you know, I feel with the vagina monologues that I can close my eyes and I can be in Brest, you know, France, or I can be in Islamabad, Pakistan, or I can be in Arkansas, and to be honest, they laugh at the same place and they cry at the same place, which gives me enormous hope to think that we are living in a world where we share very many of the same struggles and that we can build a movement across borders to transform consciousness.
Eve Ensler's new book is I Am an Emotional Creature, The Secret Life of Girls Across the World. You can read an excerpt at our website, onpointradio.org. Eve Ensler in New York, thank you very much for being with us today. Thank you so much. On Point is produced by Julie Jopp, Sam Gail Rosen, Ping Wong, Eileen Amata, Stefano Katsonis, Hilary McQuilkin, James Ross, Karen Schiffman, and John Wibby, with help from Shireen Jafari and Case Wickman. Our senior producer is Wen Stevenson. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.